Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we just thank you for each person here. And I pray that you could encourage each person here in the words, the scripture that are shared this morning. I pray you'd anoint me and just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you that we can come together and worship. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the people we come in contact. Just pray you truly be an enlightening to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, turn this morning, Romans chapter 14, verse 1. As you know, we've been in the book of Romans. Just seems like yesterday we started, right? We're here, chapter 14. I'm going to be looking at chapter 14. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. True Christianity has fundamental beliefs that are, you know, not negotiable. You know, salvation through Christ, not of works, it's a free gift. Inspiration of Scripture, the deity of Christ, Jesus is God, eternal life, we believe we have eternal life, and the resurrection. So those are foundational things that, those are foundational doctrines that don't change. We stand on those and proclaim those. Now, however, upon these Christian fundamentals, there are a whole host of opinions and different kinds of views within Christianity. I mean, some of them different views on end times, different views on spiritual gifts, different views on forms of worship, different views on diet, and on and on and on. There's just all sorts of different views that people, Christians, hold on to. Plus, as we know in our study, there's chapter 3 Christians. Okay, there are chapter 7 Christians. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I suggest you go back to those chapters and, you know, see what we're talking about. However, with our understanding, we've all the way through here, our 13 chapters we covered. Now, we're going to say because we looked at this, these 13 chapters, and therefore, we have a good understanding of the Christian faith based on these 13 chapters, especially chapters 1 through 8. So, based on what the Scripture says, I'm not lifting up any individuals or anything like that. But what the Scripture says, if we got a hold of that, we have a good view of the Christian faith. We're firm in that. We understand that. We can operate in that. So, At this point, the Apostle Paul is recognizing that. Y'all have a good, solid understanding based on everything I've said. Now, I'm going to let you know something. He goes, now, I want you to tell us, except those who are weak in faith. I know you guys are walking. I know you guys got it, okay? But except those who are weak in the faith, welcome them, and do not quarrel about opinions, because those weak in faith are going to come in with their opinions. And, you know, it might just behoove us to just set them straight. And he goes, no, don't do that. Don't do that. So what we have here, he's telling us, you know, accept those weak in faith, you know, do not quarrel over opinions. And so he's telling us and not to quarrel with them, these believers that come in that may not see everything as we see. And he gives us a verse here that kind of sums it up. Very interesting. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. And I have an overhead for the first sentence of this, but I'll read the whole thing to you. So he goes on to continue about accepting those weak in faith. Romans 14, 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Now, who he's talking to, he's talking to the ones who have understanding of Romans chapters 1 through 8 or Romans chapter 1 through 13, what he's just told them, okay? He's saying here, why do you, with all your understanding, pass judgment on your brother? Are you, why do you despise your brother? Can you believe they believe that? Jeez. Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. All of us, the weak brother and us. For we all will stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Amen? Everybody. There's no exceptions right here. So what this is telling us, whatever our belief is, we're going to stand before Jesus and give an account to all our actions and our beliefs. It's like, oh, I always have this thing, you know, you kind of stand before Jesus and he says, you know, you said, but this is what it is. You go, oh, really? Sorry about that. I messed up on that one, you know, like that. And it's like, all right, you're covered in grace. You still can come in. Covered by the blood, you know. It's like, now I'm sure that doesn't happen. That's just my personal fear. It's like that. And so, but the whole thing of it is, we're going to be held accountable for our actions and our beliefs. It's a fact that, now this is talking to believers. This specific section is talking to believers, not talking to unbelievers. This is talking to believers. You're going to give an account, you know, of what you've done and your belief system. And so because of that, he's telling us, therefore, don't judge your brothers and sisters. You better just take care of yourself. Don't judge your brothers and sisters. I'll take care of the brothers and sisters, all right, based on what they believe and their belief system. Belief system. See, that is God's job. That's not our job. That's not our job. So as mature Christians, so is us, as mature Christians, free in Christ, we are to be careful and not put stumbling blocks in the way of those weak in the faith. So you can see how this thing, how the book of Romans has folded out here and presented the Christian faith as well or better than any other book within the scripture, because book of Romans is a systematic theology. So he's wrote just everything that's been laid out, it's presented. So he's saying, okay, based on what I said, and assuming you have it, all right, don't judge your brothers and sisters. Don't you judge them. Let me do that. And also, don't you put stumbling blocks in the path of your brothers and sisters. So this is totally in the church right here. This is totally in the church. So we have in verse, look at verse Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Romans 14, 13. Therefore, since God's going to judge the whole mess in our belief system, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. So it's like, accept the weak and you come alongside, help them out. Don't put anything that's going to cause them to stumble. Again, it's focusing on the church and it's focusing on believers here. Now, it's important to look at what a stumbling block is. I mean, it's so serious here. What a stumbling block and a hindrance is. What does that actually mean? And the word stumbling block means it's an obstacle which one may dash their foot on and stumble and fall. Isn't that appropriate? It's a stumbling block, you hit it and you fall down. You fall down. Don't do something to make your brother and sister fall down. See, that's your job. Don't do that, you know. And hindrance, the word hindrance, originally, I think this is fascinating because you read hindrance, okay, don't put a hindrance, but hindrance originally was the name for the part of a trap where you open up this trap to catch an animal. Hindrance was the name of the piece of the trap where the little flip was, where you put the bait and you flip it and it catch you. That's the hindrance. Don't put something out where your believing brother or sister will tell them that, and then they get trapped in that because of the hindrance, the lure that you put there. So it's like, oh my, says, don't do that. I said, well, I wouldn't do that. Oh my goodness. Well, evidently we can't. And again, who is he talking to? Well, all these weak, unbelieving Christians, they don't know what's going on. No, he's talking to us who have studied and understand chapters 1 through 13. So he's talking to us. See, we're the ones he's concerned about. The ones that actually know what's going on, that have embraced the fundamentals of the faith and are standing on it. He says, don't you put a stumbling block, your brother and sister. So it's a, you know, fascinating statement here. Now, we want to note that stumbling block and hindrances are obstacles, and we're going to see later on, that destroy people. So that's the thing. It's, oh, you know, hindered them, you know, they had a bad night or what. No, these are stumbling blocks and hindrances that actually will destroy a person's faith. So it's like, good grief. It's, you know, it's like, that's the what the Lord is looking at. And again, is he looking at this evil world? No, he's looking at us. Is he looking at these just crazy, what we think, Christians? Just come here, you don't want. No, he's not looking at them. He's looking at the mature. Those are the ones I have the issue with. Don't you be causing these other people to stumble. So it's like, can you see the appropriateness of this chapter in the book? Okay, chapter 14. After everything is brought to that we have understanding, now this is really important at this point. That wouldn't be a good point to start the book with, would it? No, it's how he's carried us through the Christian walk up to this point. And so he's communicating this. So, we don't want to do things that would cause people to fall into sin, to destroy them, to destroy them. Now, we want to come alongside and nurture these people so they will grow in the Lord. Therefore, with weak believers, you know, we'll modulate our behavior around them so their faith will not be destroyed. We're very conscious of where they are, and we come around them and adjust our faith so they can usher in so they will grow. See, we acknowledge that that's the situation. Therefore, we welcome the weak in the faith. This, you know, this is a safe place, you know, and we'll come around those people. Okay? Amen? Now, I'm going to take a little break. We'll come right back to this, but I'm going to take a little break. However, how can it be a however and effort to argue about the opinions he just said? No, it's however you understand what a hindrance and the stumbling block is. You're causing someone to fall from the faith, to stumble, fall away from the faith, and do damage. You use the word destroy. But some things are not stumbling blocks. Some things just irritate people, okay? And irritations aren't necessary. Stumbling blocks, if you will. So it's important for us to discern the difference between stumbling blocks and legalism and social preferences, see? So we need to distinguish between those so that we have wisdom on how to walk with somebody. I'm going to give you some examples. I really almost just made two services out of this because I have so many examples over 40 years in the ministry. Oh, Lord Jesus. And I thought, no, it's not good. So I just picked three here, just three that would show the difference between a stumbling block and an irritation. Okay, and Adam will really appreciate the three I picked all have to do with music. They all have to do with music. Now, I just picked these out so everybody could relate, all right? Like, but I mean, the list just goes on and over forever. And so what I'm going to show here is an example where somebody's coming up and say, this is a stumbling block. It's causing me to stumble. And it's not. It's just an irritation. They're just irritated. They're not stumbling. Okay? Here's the first one that I'm going to bring up. A guy came up, and these are years ago. You don't know these people. I know these people. You know, I'm not making this up. This happened. Guy came up to me and he said, "Your band is causing me to stumble in worship." And I thought, well, it didn't sound that bad. But he was like, to me, he said, "No." He says, "They don't wear ties." And I actually went, "Pardon?" Because I thought, I mean, I was off, you know. He said, "No, they don't wear ties." And by not wearing a tie, and he really said it would be better if they wore a coat and tie. And he said, "By not wearing a tie, they're showing a dishonor to the God that they're worshiping because they're not dressing up appropriately to lead people in worship." So here we are. And he used the word, "It's causing me to stumble." Causing me to stumble. And so we had a good discussion, and I gently told him that I didn't agree, you know, basically didn't agree. I hurt to, you know, I didn't want to be an irritation to him, but I just didn't necessarily agree with that. And he literally told me that he thought, I mean, I say this because you think this is crazy. He literally told me that he just felt God would take his hand off of me because I was dishonoring God by the band not having ties. Well, you know, I appreciate that. I'll pray about it, but we're not going to do it anyway. Now, see, the guy didn't stumble. I mean, like if it's a stumbling block, that means he trips and he falls into that sin. It's leading him into a sin. See, so, I mean, this guy didn't just, like, go home and say, "They're leading me astray. I just fallen into sin. I'll never wear a tie again." I mean, that would be his sin, right? Because the righteousness is to wear one. So if it caused him to fall, he just like, "I'm just falling into the sin of not wearing a tie." Right? I mean, what are you going to stumble in? Well, you stumble. That made him stumble. It's just like, I guess I'm not wearing a tie anymore. And it's Wallace's fault. Anyway. Right? See, he didn't stumble. He's irritated. And what is that? Now, he told me he stumbled. No, he's irritated. So there's a difference. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference with that. And so you have to discern. Say, "Oh, my God, we're not honoring God. You guys got to get a tie on. And especially God's going to lift his hand off me if you don't have to wear a tie." Anyway. I mean, this is a true story. And he's going to church someplace else now, and I'm sure his man wears ties where he goes. And God bless him. God bless him. But that's not a stumbling block. You know, it's just an irritation to him. Here's another one. This goes way back to another church. And what they did, they introduced contemporary music into the service. Hymns. It was solid hymns. And God bless hymns. They're so doctrinally good. I mean, powerful things. Well, what they did, they introduced contemporary music into the service like that. Well, not everybody was happy about that, you know. And they did it really subtle. But one individual said, one individual said it was making him stumble. You know, it was really making him stumble. And they said, "Well, you know, we'll go ahead and do it and see what." And so they would play contemporary music. And what he would do, he would sit in the front row, the very front row. He sat in the front row. And while they played the contemporary song, he would cry. I mean, he cried. And so when you're standing behind him, you know, his shoulders are like shaking up and down like this because he's crying while they're playing contemporary music because it was introducing a secularism into the worship service. So he's crying. And they kind of let it go for a while because people behind him thought he's just praising Jesus, you know. It's just like, oh, well, he's just like that. No, he's crying. Okay. So, but he says, making him stumble. Well, oh, by the way, he's still at that same church. That's 30 years ago. I mean, it's like that. But the stumble was that making him fall into a sin. Like, after experiencing contemporary worship, that he fell into sin, he just started going to rock concerts. I mean, that would be the sin you fell into, right? It's causing me to fall into that sin. So, yeah, I just, ever since you played that contemporary music, I've just been going to rock concerts. I'm neglecting my family, just going to rock concerts. See? Now, you couldn't drag him to a rock concert. And no way. No way. See? He didn't fall. You know? It's not a stumbling block. It was just an irritation. They make him fall because it's contemporary music. He just tells his wife, I'm overcome with sin. I'm going to go and buy a set of drums, and I'm just start playing them in the basement. You know? No, he's not going to stumble. He's not doing that. You know? He's irritated with the music. He does, and that's fine. A lot of people don't like contemporary music. I mean, that's fine. You know? And there's a bunch of churches that just play hymns. A lot of big churches that have one service hymns, one service contemporary music. That's fine, you know. And then you can go up. But you know what? This is my conjecture. If you had one service contemporary music, one service hymn, the guy would go the one with contemporary music so he could cry, you know, because to show everybody it's irritating to him. Now this is true. So this is not. I didn't make this up. Neither one of these did I make up. But you see the difference between the stumbling block and an irritation. And so you have to be aware, you know, about some people's stumbling blocks. Here's another one. Another church. So had a fairly big conversation, congregation. And they had four mics. And so the sound system was set back up, like far away and up. And as our guys know, you tried, well, we have the earphones now then. Well, you didn't have it then. You know, you had the different mics, and you had to control those mics from the sound system. So what they did, trying to control that sound system, and this is after we had already fallen into contemporary music. I mean, this is one sin on top of another sin. I mean, it's just, that's what happened. So what they did, they had the four mics, and they put colored coverings, you know, those sponge-like coverings. They put those coverings, like they'd have an orange and blue and green and red. And then they could see that, and they'd see that covering, and they'd know which microphone to adjust. Oh, that didn't go over good at all. And said, gentlemen came up and said, all y'all doing are just looks like a performance. You're just doing a performance. You're not interested in worshiping God. You're just interested in performing. And that's the reason you have all those colored things on the mic. Totally distracting. You're just doing a performance. And it's just causing me to stumble, and I can't worship. That's what he said. Just causing me to stumble, and I can't worship. Now, so his stumbling, he can't worship. So he fell into sin. What was the sin? He went and, you know, put colored microphones in his basement. You know, he fell into that sin to put those sponges. It's just, I knew it to take me right down the path of putting sponges over these microphones, these colored things. You know, did he fall and stumble? No, he's just irritated. He was just irritated. By the way, this church removed those sponges. They moved all of them. Because this guy says, we don't want to give the belief that we're doing a performance because of these orange coverings. Just to let you know, I was dead set against it. They were making me stumble. I mean, But do you see what I mean? There is a difference between a stumbling block and an irritation. Okay? So now we'll get back to the message. It says, don't put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a believer. But when you get confronted with legalism, social preferences, and stuff like that, you can be kind and sweet and everything. But it's like, no, I just, you know, I just don't think that's what it is. And the kids, will you cause that person who's telling you to fall into a sin? Any of the people that I just mentioned, any of them fall into a sin? No. They came really close to having me fall into a sin, but I didn't, right? I was, Lord, fill me. Show love and kindness. All right, so we have an understanding. Now taking, and by the way, this is real. And that's what you run into. That's what you run into with individuals and preferences and stuff. And we all have them. We all have preferences and things. Now, it's just hard when we try to have everybody else to conform to our preferences, you know. Now, taking all this into consideration, as mature Christians, we always want to be sensitive and exercise freedom with love. Amen? So we know, based on chapters 1 through 3, we are totally free in Christ. We know, and we're moving forward in that, but you have weak believers coming in, and we're trying to put our arms around that. That's the situation here. And so look at Romans chapter 14, verse 14 through 15. Romans 14, no, I don't have an overhead for that, but I'll just read it to you, no overhead here. Romans 14, verse 14 through 15. Now listen to this. We've got chapters 1 through 13, okay? I know, Paul said, I know, and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. And all God's people said, amen. There's nothing unclean in itself. I am persuaded. But it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Now there's the rub. We're free, you know? Well, you got a weak Christian, you know, coming in, and who knows where they're coming from. And they think that it's unclean. It's unclean. It's unclean because they think it's unclean. Now, this is where those orange mic covers is unclean and making me fall. Listen, you know, I mean, in my flesh, I'd say, listen, you suck it up. You get over that. I mean, there's no argument. There's no argument. Oh, there is an argument. There's not a legitimate argument that those covers on the mics are unclean. If somebody thinks it, they got the issue. They have the issue. But there are issues where people think something's unclean. And if they think it's unclean to them because they think it. And then they tell us, Paul tells us, by what you eat, and it's all in context, by what you eat, they think this is unclean, this meat's unclean. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Now you've got the other side of the coin. Christ died for these people, therefore don't do something. They think something's unclean. You know, don't put a stumbling block in front of them and destroy their faith. Because Christ died for him. So we have to make this assessment. How can we put our arms around this weak person? Amen? Now, again, wearing ties, the praise team wearing ties, just doesn't measure up to this. Putting different colored covers on the mic, that never measure up with it. Because we played contemporary music, and that was a huge issue still. No, you know, that, I'm sorry. You know, it just didn't rise to that level. So what's talking about here of destroying somebody's faith? Now, just note the words here in that verse. It says, do not destroy. That's key. Is it destroying their faith? Not is it irritating them. Is it destroying their faith? Now, specifically, and this has helped the principle here we understand, specifically what the Apostle Paul is talking about, he is talking about meat sacrificed to idols. That's specifically what he's talking about. Hey, we're going to have a party, come over here, and we're going to have a big bunch of steak. And so to dedicate the party, we sacrifice the steak, dedicate it to the idol, and we bring it and cook it, and we serve it to everybody. So it's connected with idol worship. And this is what he's talking about here. So in a society devoted to idols, eating that meat may be seen as proclaiming one's devotion for those idols. See, you're participating with the idols based on that meat, that they're telling you that it was sacrificed to an idol. So that's the thing. And so in this society of idol worship, and it looks like we're participating in this idol worship, you could cause a young Christian just coming out of this idol worship to be tempted to return to his old lifestyle of idol worship. Now that's the specific that they're talking about. Now the principles there, you can understand what's going on. What's going on? What is the background someone's coming out of that's making them fall away from the faith and go into the depths of that sinful background? That's the point. So they're coming out of idol worship. Now, therefore, Christians should be sensitive to this issue. Now, okay, we need to be sensitive to this issue. However, we have freedom in Christ, and nothing's unclean. Nothing. Is this anything wrong with this meat as far as a Christian? No. The problem is this young believer sees it dedicated to this idol and bring up, and we're eating. It's like we're participating with an idol. Meat's okay. And so it's his perception that causes him to fall. Well, what are you doing? This is the whole evil lifestyle, and this is what you're doing. You're eating this meat. Are you participating? And you're trying to. Well, no, but that's what that means. When you eat it, that's what you mean. That has raised my hope. That's what that means. Now, and so what we want to understand is that when it causes someone to embrace that a sinful lifestyle, then we need to back. It's okay for us. We'll back off from it. It's okay. I understand. We'll walk with you. We'll walk with you through this, and hopefully he'll grow out of that. But what are we going to say? We don't want him to fall away from the faith. This is not an irritation. This is not an irritation. We don't want him to fall away from the faith. Now, does that make sense? So that's the difference between mic covers, you know, and eating meat sacrificed to idols, because there's an association with a demonic power that we're giving agreement to by our participation in eating that meat to idols. Everybody with me? Okay. However, we got this in. However, we're invited to our unbelieving friend, or maybe, you know, and they go and they serve us some meat that's been dedicated to idols. They just serve it up. So we're sitting there. Okay. But he doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us it's been dedicated to idols. He just serves us up. You know what the Bible says? Eat it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You know, they served up. You don't know. Always been served. Just eat it. Just eat it. You know? Just don't ask questions. Just don't ask questions. Just eat it. All right? Because there's nothing wrong with this meat. All right? And so they said, so you ate meat sacrifice. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know that. Ate it. But you don't eat it. Don't ask any questions about it. Just eat it. Just eat it. Now, here is a verse. Now, we're going to 1 Corinthians, talking about the same subject. Okay, and these are big-time idol worships. In 1 Corinthians, and it gives us a view and it gives us some understanding of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27 through 28. I don't have an overhead for this, so I'll just read it slowly and follow through. This is all connected, but this is about meat sacrificed to idols, and this is what 1 Corinthians is, too. Now, if one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any questions. But if someone says to you, this has been offered as a sacrifice to an idol, then you don't eat it for the sake of the one who informed you. It's like, oh, okay, I will not participate in this idol worship. I won't eat it. But if he doesn't say anything to you, eat it. Ain't nothing wrong with the meat. Ain't nothing wrong. But it's this guy, oh, man. And, you know, if you're like me, I love a good steak. You know, if this guy's come in, he's an unbeliever, you know, I said, don't let him say nothing until dinner's over. Please, I don't eat this. Oh, he tells me I can't. Says this. I said, oh, God, you got to be kidding. I don't like this guy anyway. I'm going to just eat it. No, you can't do that. You didn't do it. But you see what I'm saying? But that's what the word says. Don't ask anything. They serve it. It's been sacrificed. Eat it. It's fine. Just eat. But if they tell you it's been sacrificed as an idol, don't eat it. Don't put a stumbling block in there. See, that's what it is. It's a stumbling that causes them to fall. Now, here's the important thing. We're not being hypocritical. We're not being hypocritical at all. Oh, you said sacrifice. Okay, we won't eat it. Go somebody else. They don't have to. We eat it. Well, you're just saying one thing and doing another. You know, I'm doing the same thing every single time. And I have a lot better meals if you'd quit following me around and telling me who sacrificed these things to, you know. There's nothing hypocritical about this at all. And this is scripture. When you eat, am I causing somebody to stumble? Okay, a believer. Now, being free in Christ, you know, there's nothing wrong with the meat. Understanding Christian freedom is also very helpful in connecting with all those around us who don't know Christ. All right? And this freedom with love may open a whole approach to evangelism. You know, I've had people go, man, I'm going over to these people's house and this is what's going on. What do you think? Well, what do you think? You know, what the, see, I'm like going over these, we'll bring it here. These people's house, and they got all this meat. I know they sacrificed this stuff. Well, somebody's going to spill the beans soon. I know they did. What do you think I should do? We'll do what you want to. You want to go? Go. That's not like this. Go. What they did, that's not the issue. But if you go and they say, hey, look who's here. I just want you to know, this has been sacrificed to idols and he's come. I think I just ruined the party. Just flat ruined the party. You know, you got to go home and have Cheerios now. You know, just like, gosh. See, but if they don't say anything, you just join the party, eat the steak. There's nothing hypocritical. You're just looking at, you don't want to put a stumbling block to cause somebody to fall into sin. And also, you have the freedom to go with people that do different things in their world that you can share the gospel with them, and you don't, you have a lot of flexibility there. You see what I'm saying? Now again, if they make a big point, hey, I'm an unbeliever and I sacrificed this idol, boom, I want you to join. Well, you know, because it's sacrificed, I can't do that. You know, and under your breath, you're going, if you kept your mouth shut, I'm going to have dinner with you. But no, since you told me, I can't. There's no hypocrisy in that, none whatsoever. You're just being sensitive to those people that are weak. See, now look what this, so with unbelievers. This is what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read it. We don't have an overhead. 1 Corinthians 9, 22, 23. I mean, Paul wrote all this. He says this. To the weak, I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them all its blessings. See? Don't get hung up on the details on the meat. It's not the meat. It's good meat. Nothing through the scripture calls the meat bad. Nothing in the scripture says it's because it's been sacrificed. You shouldn't eat it. Not a thing. It's free. Nothing is unclean in and of itself. It's nothing. But as soon as it makes a point, it's been sacrificed. Then because of someone else's perception and faith, you go, okay, because of that, I don't want you to fall into idol worship. I won't do that. And one guy, you know, I don't want you to fall into sin of never wearing a tie, so I have the band to wear ties. Yeah. I don't want you to fall into sin, you know, just playing rock music in your basement. So we'll just play hymns. Well, that's nuts. See, and here's the distinction, because these people are not falling into sin. They're just irritating the daylights of everybody around them. You see what I'm saying? So this is huge. This is a huge Christian freedom to understand that. And I'm saying this, and probably I don't know y'all's background stuff. You come back and say, that's silly. Nobody thinks like that. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Big time. Big time. See, so it's like, we're free. And I just need them to come over to your house. I love steak. You just make me some. Just don't tell me where you got it. I'm going to believe you didn't sacrifice it to the idol. But even if you saw, hey, that's a good cut of meat, and they sacrificed it to the idol, it's okay. You can go ahead and buy it and serve, because that's okay, too. Just don't tell me. See? Because I want to eat it. It's not hypocritical. You see, there is a freedom. There is a freedom in the Christian life, and that we can walk through it. But we're sensitive people that are weak that can fall in that. And you can probably think of several situations that may come in. So we have to participate in the believer's world. We can participate in their world. We can participate in their world and bring the gospel into their world. See, and God says, that's fine, that's fine. See, and now here's how Romans 14 ends. Like, there's two verses here, Romans 14, 17. I think this is a great, how it ends here. Romans 14, 17. Why do we do it this way? I mean, why is it okay? Why are we not to worry about it? Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking and playing the drums and colored coverings over the mics and wearing ties. No, it's not. But the kingdom of God is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have to worry about ties, mic covers. We don't even have to worry about the meat. It's joy in the Holy Spirit. And the only reason that when we see someone stumbles, we want them to not fall away from the faith, that we can walk up beside them and through the situation they're going to. But we do it for freedom. We do it because we love somebody else, not because they're trying to put some sort of legalism on us or social preference. And then two, this is what's interesting. In our Christian life and freedom and joy, we are seeing what the Scripture says to us. The Holy Spirit's transforming us, and God is speaking to us in our life, and we're carrying out what God is telling us. Amen? That's faith. You hear from God and you do what He says. Amen. Look at the last sentence in this chapter. Romans 14, 23. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. What's faith? God told you. God told you. Whatever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Well, God told me if I eat this and I'm just, you're participating in idol worship, okay, so it's unclean. Okay, oh man, all right, if that's what you're, we'll help you. I understand, we'll go with that. You say, man, there's another meal I missed, but that's all right. I'll walk with the God. You know, next week I'm going to have Carlos sticky mouth. There's no hypocrisy in that. You see, there's no hypocrisy. Now, is it, you see the freedom? And this is how it ends it. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And we just walk within this. Walk within this. And then you can discern an irritation from a stumbling block. You know, you have to be sensitive before the Lord. So, hallelujah. Therefore, as mature Christians, grasping chapters 1 through 8, we welcome the weak. We walk in freedom to help others who are weak. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Just summarized it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. This is why. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no man may boast. You know, we could even put it, I know you think the stake here, but we're hoping you grow out of this. But it's, I know for right now that's good. You know, we ask over, we'll have oatmeal. Well, come on. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So anyway, so hopefully you see this chapter 14. I just highlight something. It's total freedom. It's total freedom that you understand as you walk with people in freedom before the Lord what God has shown you, that those that are weak, you try to come alongside and walk with them. You try to walk with them, you know, and to bring them into a maturity. And you do what's necessary. You do. You modulate your freedom to help others. All right. But that's the only reason you're doing it, is to help others. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, and we thank you for just the logic, the understanding, Lord, that here that you just say, hey, you know, nothing's unclean in itself. Nothing. But don't destroy the faith of the weak. All right, God. We'll walk with you, cooperate with you, be a minister to you, put our arms around those that come to know you, that they can step up and grow in your faith, God. We just thank you. And we thank you just the foundational thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're forgiven. It is a gift of God. It has nothing to do what we do ourselves. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.